You are listening to Megiddo Radio. Megiddo Radio is a radio ministry of Megiddo Films. For more, visit our website at www.megiddofilms.org.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome. This is Paul Flynn with Megiddo Radio for the 16th of August, 2014. Thank you all for tuning in. On this week's show, we're going to be dealing with Vicky Beeching's recent news that she's come out as a homosexual Christian. Now, if you've never heard of Vicky Beeching, she is a very big recording artist in the CCM world. CCM referring to Christian contemporary music. Now, I don't believe there's very little Christian about this whole entire industry. This whole movement has, there's a magazine called CCM, I believe it stands for something else besides Christian contemporary music, but there's so many of these bands, like you could include probably one of the most, the biggest band that is being, would be included in that bracket of CCM would probably be Hillsong down in Australia. And I remember as a young Christian years ago when I used to listen to it for a while, probably because it was like a slightly more Christianized version of the rock I used to listen to as a lost person. And as time went on, initially it was the lyrics that bothered me. But then it's not just the lyrics in these songs. I mean, you have a lot of the rock beat and things like that. And the music is getting more, it's getting to the point now what's been called Christian. And if you put the worldly equivalent beside it, it's really hard to tell which is which, because we have become so much like the world. We've adopted all the world's attitudes and customs and etc. And even in the, you know, the Young Restless Reform movement, which claims to be reformed, often it claims, okay, man is dead in trespasses and sins. He cannot come to God unless he has, unless he's made alive by the Spirit of God unto his total depravity. And then he comes to God by his free grace alone. He never seeks after it in any way, shape, or form. But once the Spirit of God begins to work in him, he makes a spiritual Lazarus alive, okay? But often that is denied by the types of methodologies that are used by, you know, likes of Mark Driscoll and people like that. That it's often, yes, they will claim to be Calvinistic or claim to be reformed, but at the same time, they will use Arminian techniques in order to manipulate the will of man into the church, or to make a decision, or something like that. Although, otherwise known as, they are picking things, they're picking methodologies that they know will get big numbers. Mega churches, mega pastors, things like that, that use such methodologies. It shows you do not believe the doctrines of grace right off the bat. And, you know, whether it's Rick Warren or anybody else in the emerging church, this is common play. Now, the thing about it is, CCM, it's basically worldly music being wrapped up with Christian lyrics. And the lyrics, to be honest, are so flimsical. It's usually repetitive things over and over again. I remember, like, these songs are really catchy, and if you go to the majority of churches in most countries, they will have music very, very similar to Vicky Beeching's music. I remember I just skipped through a number of the clips from different songs that she did last night, because, to be honest, I didn't know much about her until this story broke in Independent, and she's actually English, and she became very, very popular in places like Nashville and what they call, you know, the Bible Belt today, although, to be honest, they are, it's really kind of a hollowed out nominal Christianity that's left in America at the moment. There's pockets of places in America where there are great churches. I don't want people to be telling me there's no good churches out there. There are. You may have to move. But the thing about it is, this whole marketing methodology of how to get people into the church, rather than coming to worship God, it's all about, well, feelings, emotions, psychology, and how I'm feeling and my felt needs, rather than my actual needs. You see, there's no love in that whatsoever. If you truly love somebody, you will tell them the truth. You will tell them what they truly need, which is what the Bible tells them, that they are withholding the truth and unrighteousness, and they are against the truth. They do not know God if they are outside of Christ Jesus, if they are not producing fruit in their life, as in they have been regenerated and their life is showing forth the fruits of conversion, as in showing that they are truly born again and that they truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they truly believe this book, that they believe the Bible. Do they believe the Bible? And the thing about it is, a lot of these CCM artists don't believe the Bible. I don't want to say every single CCM artist does not believe the Bible and is not a Christian. I don't know. But to be honest, the fruit, if you look at the statements made by these people, and I think the fact that they are weak Christians at best in these circles, they are, it's just, how can I almost act completely like the world but still claim to be a Christian? Whereas God's worship has already been ordained. God has penned his hymnal, his, how would I put it, his psalm book by David on the inspiration of the Spirit of God. The Psalter that has been used by the church for something like 1800 years on and off. At different points, it was brought back during the Reformation. Instrumental music did not enter the church at different periods of time, probably until the 6th, 7th century when the organ was introduced into Roman Catholic churches, and then you didn't really have Reformed churches bringing in instrumental music like organs, etc., until about 150 years ago. What am I saying here? The more we say, well, the Bible has to condemn this practice openly, clearly, in red neon lights, then we're going to say, well, where does it say you can't be this, in explicit language? Rather than studying the Bible, and then, by good and necessary consequence, logically working out, as in, I don't mean working out according to your own understanding, but I mean comparing Scripture with Scripture, meditating upon these things, and prayerfully coming to conclusions that are in the Word of God. Things that are based completely upon not our thinking, not our logic, not our psychology, but on the Word of God. Now, if you're truly converted, you're probably saying amen. But if you're not converted, if you believe that it's possible to be a homosexual and a Christian at the same time, you've been deceived, you've been lied to, and you're probably lying to yourself. The thing is, the Bible states, and see, again, just to even go back to the comment made by Vicky Beeching, is like, she's a Christian rock star. I mean, even the idea of a Christian rock star is odd to me. I mean, I'm a former rock musician, metal musician. I wasn't that big of a musician. I was a singer in a number of groups. And I knew, back then, it was known as the devil's music. It was known as that. And to be honest, when I was in it, I was getting more and more involved in Satanism and things like that, and I actually was looking into that. I was probably a scale of 1 to 10, probably at stage 1 of looking into it. I wasn't, you know, sacrificing elements or anything, but I was, like, I did wear an upside-down cross from my neck and things like that. But we used to always have this attitude of rock music, metal music belongs, it is the devil's music, and it was our attitude, it belongs to us, how dare they, you know, the Christians, steal from it. I was like, that's our music. And it's always been understood that way. If you go back to the people who started rock and roll, I mean, Elvis Presley, highly influenced by people like Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, died a drug-induced coma, or I don't know how he died exactly, but he had so many drugs in his system. Basically, the demons that were influencing his life, he was deeply involved in the occult, and you also got groups like the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, all involved in the occult. This is where they get this stuff from. Now, not everybody who's playing rock music is into the occult or anything. I'm not saying that, but they are influenced by people who have been involved in the occult. And I'm not even saying that this is the reason to reject it. It is not worship of God in any way, shape, or form. God has laid out in his word how he's to be worshipped. And this is where this has all gone wrong. Now, I hope to do a show on the regulative principle of worship soon enough. Actually, if you're interested in that, the regulative principle of worship, you can type it into the YouTube. And Aaron Reformed Baptist Church, the church I'm attending at the moment, our pastor, Mark Fitzpatrick, actually did a sermon on the regular principle of worship and did a number of sermons on instrumental music and things like that. So if you're interested in that, I would look into that. Now, the Bible states that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind," homosexuals, "nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." It's explicit. And then it says, "But such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God." Is this saying it's by your performance you are saved? Not at all. But here is the fruit, the characteristic of fruit. You see, what is it saying to the Christians at Corinth? It's saying, "But such were some of you." Some of you were fornicators. Some of you were idolaters. Some of you were adulterers. Some of you were effeminate. Some of you were abusers of themselves and mankind. Some of you were thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, nor extortioners. How do you know you've inherited the kingdom of God? You are a new creature in Christ, and you begin to hate the sin you once loved and love the righteousness you once hated. You test, you examine yourself to see if you've been in the faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. To examine yourself and see if you're in the faith, does your life bring forth fruit? What the Bible says about a Christian, read 1 John, does that speak to your life? Is that your life? Because it says, "Be not deceived, a homosexual or somebody practices lawlessness or somebody who lives in lawlessness and does not listen to the word of God, doesn't matter how much they claim they may love the word of God, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God." It's very simple. And it says, for the Christians, "But such were some of you." You're no longer that way. Why? Because of regeneration. You were dead in trespasses and sins, and now you're made alive in Christ. "Such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Now, let's look at the story now. This is in the story we want to focus in on today is in the Independent. It's dated Wednesday the 13th of August, so this is still pretty recent news. And this is where the story broke originally. It says, "Vicky Beeching, Christian rock star, I'm gay. God loves me just the way I am." This is the direction the CCM movement is going. I want to also show you other quotations from other CCM artists who were homosexuals. Now, she gives her, she, and people can read this in their own time if they want to research this further. But in the story, Vicky Beeching, who's been on a lot of, she's been on a lot of Sky News. It seems like she's been on BBC. She's been on a lot of British television in different shows. She reviews the newspapers in the morning, from what I can see. She does the paper review for Sky News, and it seems to be that she's getting more popular. She's classified as a theologian. She's Oxford-trained, another product of what kind of comes out of Oxford these days. But I digress. Now, she talks about it, unfortunately, what gets labeled as Christianity. She says in the article, in a summer youth camp when she was about 13 years old, if I'm not mistaken, she doesn't mention the youth camp, she did an exorcism. And again, this belief in exorcism and all this kind of stuff, Roman Catholicism really, or the occult, is gradually coming more and more into unfortunately, into mainstream Christianity. It's very much in the charismatic movement, but it has no biblical basis whatsoever. This was something Christ did and the apostles did. It was a sign, it was a wonder, it was to authenticate the word of God, but we have the perfect revelation of God. God is not the author of confusion. I mean, Vicky Beeching's problem is not demons, as unfortunately this youth camp when she was 13 years old, she attended, and it says that they laid hands on her, and they, just a quote from this, instead, taking a look back on myself, there was, with about 4,000 people, someone had preached about a God could set you free from anything. It was desperate, I thought. I have to deal with this. It is breaking me. She came up to the top of the stage. Loud music, again, another problem with this, you know, hypnotic, psychedelic. The music is carrying you along. And the Bible even talks about the power of instrumental music. Actually, when David played before Saul, when it was an evil spirit upon Saul, he played before Saul and the evil spirit left him. So the Bible speaks to the issue of why many people in the Reformation, for example, believed strongly, and the early church as well, that there was no instrumental music in the worship of God, because the Levitical priesthood and all the things that were within the temple were done away with. And it was only the Levites who were allowed to play the instruments. So that was done away. Calvin's argument was, if you ever allowed instrumental music, how far do you go? Do you bring back the shewbread or all the other instruments, all the other elements of the Levitical priesthood? So the importance, what I would say here, when you go away from biblical worship, the regulative principle of worship, Lord willing, I'll spend a show on it in a week or two, maybe. She talks about very loud music, and at the altar, one of the prayer team said, what would you like us to pray for you about? It's really hard for me to say that I'm attracted to people of the same sex. I've been told God hates that, and I'm so ashamed, and I need him to take it away from me, because I can't keep living like this. It's so sad and depressed. I can't carry on. Biblical response to that would be, are you saved? Are you a Christian? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Talk to them about their testimony. Do you truly know the Lord Jesus Christ? Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Are you hungering and thirsting after word? Is Christ precious to you? Because if Christ is precious to you, you hate sin. Those who love God hate sin. The Bible is full of that. It says, Beeching stood with her arms outstretched as the leaders brought in extra people to perform deliverance. I remember lots of people placing their hands on my shoulders and back and front, praying with tongues, really loudly, and then shouting things. We command Satan to let you go, cast these demons out of you. We speak to you, demon of homosexuality, let her go. People around me were wailing and screaming. It was really frightening. I was already feeling so vulnerable. It was horrible to think, am I controlled by demons? Her problem is not demons. The problem is our own heart. She is a spiritual Lazarus. She has demonstrated by her life, she's demonstrating it by the fact that this is the characteristic fruit of her life. Not only that, she's proud about it. The thing is, one thing to be have a sin proclivity or even a weakness or something like that, but another thing is to flaunt it and just say, well, this is fine, the Bible's fine about it. When the Bible is clearly not fine about homosexuality. When the Bible clearly describes that anything outside of a one-man, one-woman relationship in the covenant of marriage, and I stress that, in the covenant of marriage, is adultery or sinful, or it is wrong. It's like if you have a fire in a fireplace, it will give you heat, warmth, and it will be blessing to many, many people who benefit from it. But if you take the fire out of the wrong place, like, for example, there's nothing wrong with things like sex, etc. But unless it is between a married man and a married woman, it is sin, because it is not. You're stealing something from someone else. You're taking something from somebody who does not belong to you. The difference between a married man and a married woman, they are one flesh, the Bible states. This is the only relationship where they can have a loving relationship in the outside of obviously the family and things like that, where you can receive comfort, support, etc., from members of the family. But when you're talking about things like sexual relationships and all that, only between a married man and a married woman. The Bible, from day one, from Genesis 1, 2, 3, all the way through, man was created in the image of God. And marriage was instituted even before the fall. It was there from the very beginning. And now they want to redefine it. And they're becoming more and more aggressive about this. They want to redefine marriage. Marriage is no longer between one man and one woman. It can be between two men or two women. But what stops that from being three women, three men, or so on and so forth, or polygamy or anything else? Once you redefine it, and it's not even, look, the argument I'm saying here is not just because there's a slippery slope if you allow this. It's wrong biblically. God condemns it. It is an abomination in his eyes. This is the truth. And this is why Christians oppose it, because they truly believe the word of God. Do you believe the word of God? It talks about so many places. Now, we'll go through some of those later. Unfortunately, and I just wanted to point that out, because what people talk about is the horrendous experiences with Christianity is really the horrendous the excesses of the charismatic movement, which is not biblical at all. This exorcisms and things like that, not biblical. These were things done by the Lord Jesus Christ, his apostles. And it ceased after that point, because these were signs and wonders to authenticate the word of God. Now, it talks about a lot of her life, etc. I want to look on to this interview that she did. Now, I want to look at a few things that Channel 4 in the United Kingdom, the way they handled the story. Now, in The Independent was the newspaper that broke the story. And again, this is not the first CCM artist to come forward to claim or to say that they are a homosexual. Basically saying that they do not believe the Bible. There's one thing to say you may struggle with something, but this is a different thing entirely. They're saying, no, the Bible doesn't state that. But the Bible is very clear. I mean, for example, Romans 1, if anybody is in any doubt whatsoever, and you can read this in your own time, but I'll just read from Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth or withhold the truth in unrighteousness. If we skip down a little bit, verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. He gave them up. This is a judgment of God to those who it's upon, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship God to serve the creature more than the creator. This is one form of judgment. God gave them over to that which they want. There's nothing worse than that. Who is blessed forevermore? For this cause God gave them over to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burning in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense in their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind. They were reprobate. If this is the characteristic fruit of your life, homosexuality and all this, you are given over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, etc., and so on. So it is clearly, and I could go on to the Old Testament, New Testament, there's different parts, where homosexuality, or anything outside of the marital relationship, when it comes to sex or anything else, and that comfort that is enjoyed and shared between a man and a woman that are married, anything outside of that is sinful. Even to lust after someone who is not your wife, even to lust after somebody who is not your husband, this is sinful and wrong. But what she's arguing for here, and she's an Oxford-trained theologian, apparently. And she's a massive CCM artist. And again, she's not unique in this. There's a number of other CCM artists. Hopefully, Lord willing, we get a chance at the end of the show to quote some other people who have claimed the same thing, that they're Christian at the same time. I mean, groups like Jars of Clay, I'm not most familiar. I try not to listen to the music at all. I don't want to listen to it. I don't to get the song stuck in my head or anything. So, but there's a band called Jars of Clay was tweeted, I think, a number of years ago. Well, is there anything, I'm paraphrasing here, anything wrong with the idea of same-sex marriage? And the thing about it is, what's the problem with saying same-sex marriage? It doesn't exist. There's no such thing as same-sex marriage. In order to create same-sex marriage, you have to redefine marriage. All the homosexuals are saying, well, why are we being denied the right to marry and all this kind of thing? You're not being denied marriage. But what you're looking for is something besides marriage. They don't want marriage. They want a relationship between somebody of the same sex. That is not marriage. That is a perversion of the intent and design of God. That is absolute rebellion. That is God giving them over to a reprobate mind. Now, many homosexuals have been saved from that lifestyle. But if you pretend, if you are a homosexual listening to this, if you pretend that you know Christ and you continue in that lifestyle, then you are deceiving yourself. Be not deceived. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what I will say is there is hope only in Christ Jesus. And run to him so that your sins may be forgiven and that everything you've done, all those horrible things you have done will be washed away by the blood of the Lamb, by resting in him, by the Spirit of God baptizing you spiritually into his life, death, burial, and resurrection, so that you will live with him. Read Galatians 2:20, but we have to get into the story now. This is Vicky Beeching. This is the piece that the Channel 4 does in this. And I want to look at this because it's very telling to the kind of propaganda that TV stations will engage in.
I really turned to, I think, trying to be the perfect student and the perfect Christian to try and make up for it. Made sure I got straight A's, made sure I got into Oxford. After Oxford, I got signed to EMI, which required a move to Nashville.
Now, she gave a story of her struggles with homosexuality and everything, and she said she tried to then to be the perfect student, make it up by her own works. You cannot by your own works. You must surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ that you are a wretched sinner, whether a person is a homosexual or not, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Run to him in repentance and faith, resting in Christ Jesus, so that he will make you a new creature. For by grace you are saved, and not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not of works. But a man must repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved, to lay hold upon the promises of God, not trying to make yourself clean yourself up in true extra effort. That will only, lead to the hardening of your heart and you to be given over to a reprobate mind.
Please greet Vicky Beeching.
I will sing with all my
So my time in America was largely spent in the Bible Belt. You're my God. You're altogether lovely. Oh. As you can imagine, is an incredibly conservative culture. I was imagining when I moved to America, it would be...
Notice how the show... obviously the most angry protests ever, but...
Slightly more open-minded. And it actually felt like really going back in time. So
this is what I thought was the lowest part of the Channel 4 and just gross misrepresentation, as then they show a clip from Westboro Baptist Church, which hardly anybody agrees with them. I don't know anybody. I don't even know if churches, I'm not even aware of churches that even agree with them. They're not a Christian church. They have a picture. If you're listening to this on the MP3 version on the Podomatic site, there's a picture of the Westboro Baptist Church with, you know, placards of God hates fags and all this kind of stuff. God hates you and all this kind of thing. Where in the scriptures does it say to go around saying God hates you? No, you tell people to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That the wrath of God, his holy, just wrath, is upon all those who do not believe. But the thing about it is, you are preaching that they may have mercy. You're not preaching so you're taking jollies in their doom, which Westboro Baptist Church do. And to be honest, they do not know God. Their behavior is horrendous, and I think anybody, but the fact that Channel 4 would put on this piece, and oh yeah, the Westboro Baptist Church, they represent American values, or even the mainstream Christian church, which they do not. They are an extravagant cult on the fringes of all the fringes. There's no one, I mean, even the strange charismatic movements and things like that don't even agree with them. They are a cult that are outside the pale of any form of Christianity. And it is grossly dishonest for Channel 4, very much, I think I remember saying to somebody before, I think they're like an English version, especially, I know a lot of people from the United States listen to the show as well. So Channel 4 in the United Kingdom is very much like almost like a UK version of, I suppose, MSNBC or CNN or something like that. And you get an idea what I'm talking about.
Suddenly I found myself in an environment that was even less conducive to me coming to terms with my sexuality. And there were billboards everywhere on the highways, you know, offering conversion therapy, reparative therapy to fix people. I am a friend.
And I would disagree. And I have a huge problem with this kind of all conversion therapy as well. No, you need the gospel. You need the gospel. Not therapy. You need the Lord Jesus Christ, you need the Word of God, and you need... I mean, if you want to listen to anything, listen to preaching. Read the Word of God. Cry out to God for mercy, but therapy and 10-step programs and all this kind of stuff, and it's used on alcoholics and everything. That will not help you. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is what you need. You need Christ. You need the forgiveness and reconciliation, what Christ has purchased for his people. Nothing else will do. And when you are in Christ, you will be regenerated. You will be a new creature. Any man who's in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. You will begin to hate. For the homosexual, and there's lots of homosexual testimonies out there of people who have been converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection, who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith alone, through Christ alone, who believe, who lay hold upon the promises of God revealed in his word, who believe by faith alone, who believe those promises, have lived different lives that reflect that they are no longer homosexuals. Now, I also disagree with some people who say, well, no, it's a lie, you're homosexual, it's an identity. They are homosexuals. They are, but it's a sin. Sinning to a fallen man is as natural as breathing. But it in no way alleviates us from the guilt. We are wretched, fallen creatures, every last one of us. And without, outside of Christ Jesus, we have no hope at all.
Because my livelihood has been based on working within that conservative Christian culture. My life has been about writing these songs that the church sings. They pay royalties when they sing them, and that pays my rent and puts food on the table. So once I've spoken out about this, I doubt very much whether those churches will sing those songs. If one of those teenagers could just see more people standing up and saying, actually, it's okay. You know, the Bible, which I love and I've studied in depth, you know, it doesn't actually say what we think it says about human sexuality. We've got a lot of it wrong. And I just hope there can be a message of hope to those young people to be who they are, to know that that's okay and that God loves them exactly the way they are.
And where exactly in the Bible does it say that? Be not deceived, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's look at another verse, for example. And this is just, like, we looked at Romans 1. Ephesians 5, 22 to 20 to 33. Talking about marriage. 22 to 33. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of the body. There's no mention. The only mention of homosexuality in the Bible is when it was removed from the land of Israel, and God was pleased when it was done. You can look at various references, Judges 19, 16 to 30, 1 Kings 14, 24, 15, 12, not all dealing with the same thing exactly, but showing there's a complete condemnation upon what they were called in the King James Bible, sodomites. Why? Because of the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. And what was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? What was the sin talked about, at least? Their sin was very grievous, it says in Genesis chapter 19. Homosexuality. And they were calling, notice how they were all the homosexual men in Sodom and Gomorrah were calling out, bring out the two men, they were angels, that we may know them. They were being very forceful, but they wanted to have relations with them. I don't want to get too graphic about this. And the same picture of this forceful, that, you know, they were almost barricading down the door, is seen also in Judges 19, 16 to 30. Almost the kind of a... What do you see in the Bible of homosexuals is a predatory nature of a perverted mind that is given over by God to that which is not convenient. The Bible does say exactly what you think it says. Lot different to what Vicky Beeching is saying. And notice how these people never actually give an argument. They never say, well, this verse says this, so it's all right. No, they need sophistry and casuistry, a load of verses here and there that do not flow into each other, non-sequitur arguments that do not follow on from each other. And the thing is, the unbelieving will lay hold upon it because that's what they want to believe. They want to believe that their sin is okay. And the thing is, everyone is equal before the law. And all sin must be punished. And there's either two possibilities. Either you're in Christ Jesus and your sin has been paid on the cross, or you'll go into eternity in your own filthy rags, because your greatest deeds are but filthy rags. And you will pay for all eternity for your own wretchedness against the holy and righteous God. Two possibilities. Now it says then, verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Again, no mention. It is a husband and a wife relationship. If you want to read that in your own time, down to the end of verse 33 in Ephesians 5, 22 to 33. Christian marriage, the only way it has been expressed from the very beginning, Adam and Eve, is between one man and one woman. Anyone who tells you otherwise and claims to love the Bible is lying. Let God be true and every man a liar. But we pray, we hope and pray that people will come under conviction. I was witnessing about 2-3 weeks ago to a person on the street who was a homosexual, professing homosexual. And He says, well, what do you think of us? And I remember when I was witnessing to that person who was a professing homosexual, we were giving out tracts. Our church was giving out tracts in Grafton Street in Dublin city centre. And he wanted to take me off in different tangents, saying, well, there's 10% of the animal kingdom are this and that and all these so-called scientific studies. But I just started from the beginning. God created Adam. And then out of his rib created Eve. That was the first marriage between one man and one woman. The marriage institution is between one man and one woman for life. That has never changed. That was from the very beginning. The same way the seventh-day Sabbath rest was instituted before the fall. That's how we have seven-day weeks. It's from the very, very beginning these things were instituted. Marriage was instituted between one man and one woman. Outside of that marriage covenant, any other sexual relationship or lusting of any kind is a perversion of that. It is between that. If you are married to somebody, your affections are supposed to be derived towards your spouse. No one else. It is stealing. It is robbing. It is against them. And it's a sin against God. Against thee only have I sinned, David said in Psalm 51, verse 4. The Bible is explicit. There's nowhere in the Bible it condones homosexuality. What it does is speaks vehemently that it is a judgment of God upon anyone who's been given over. And people say it is a gift from God. The wrath of God is what it is. It's a wrath of God. And the thing is, the wrath of God has been revealed against all unrighteousness. The thing is, you have to see it through the lens of the Word of God to understand this. And people can say that they're blue in the face, oh, I love the Bible. But when you ask them certain questions, what do you think about this? And they think homosexuality is okay. And they claim to know the Bible and love the Bible. They don't love the Bible. They hate the Bible. They hate God. And we say to all those people who are homosexual and living that lifestyle, Christ is a willing Savior to all those who are willing to flee to Him, who will come to Him in repentance and faith, regardless of what you've done. You must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Flee from your sin and flee into the city of refuge to your high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's continue with the next clip I wanted to look at on this Channel 4. This is a bit of a back and forth. They bring on a Christian pastor. Now, I don't know if he's... I've never heard about the man before, but he said some good things. He said some things could have been said in a better way, but at least he was being categorical on national television that this clearly is sin. I don't know the man at all. So before I make any comment, I'm not trying to recommend him or anything like that. This is at the 8-minute mark.
Empathy toward Vicky herself. My sister was a lesbian, and in fact, I was the person that she came out to as a teenager, and I was the person that she turned to later when lesbianism had almost destroyed her, and she became a Christian and overcame lesbianism. And so I have a lot of sympathy for people who struggle with the challenge that Vicky is facing, and I'm very sorry to hear that she has given in to the lie that that she is a homosexual. And instead of continuing to try to overcome the challenge that is in her life, all of us have challenges.
Vicky, let's hear your response to that. Excuse me for interrupting you. Let's hear your response. You're living a lie, according to you. You've given in to a lie.
That is very much what I've been raised to believe. And I think psychologically that's actually very damaging for people because it makes you feel like you're fighting against yourself.
Here's the thing. Anybody who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ is dead in trespass and sins. They hate the truth. And they love the lie. They are in bondage. It is the bondage of the will. It is not that they're... See, the thing is, she has no ability in and of her own self. This is a judgment of God upon her. And I think we have to understand it biblically. Unfortunately, this kind of Arminian understanding is put over the top of it. It was like, give me into the lie that you are homosexual. Well, the thing is, she is a homosexual. But it is sinful and wrong. I was born in iniquity, but I will be judged according to the iniquity. Adam, we were all in Adam. Adam was a federal head. And in Adam, all die. We need to be in Christ Jesus. And she needs to flee from the wrath to come and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the message... It's, you know, this whole... It's almost like we go to Jesus as this kind of self-help guru. Rather than going to him for reconciliation, for he is the minister of circumcision, that he would circumcise our hearts, regenerate our hearts, place us in, by the Spirit of God, into the body of his dear Son, that we would live to him, that we'd be dead unto sin and alive unto Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ liveth in me, Galatians 2:20. Christ liveth in me, because we are one with Christ, union with Christ. And the thing is, when you kind of make it like seem like a self-help, look, you could even, look, there's loads of ex-homosexuals who became Christians and their lives completely changed. But the most important thing is that they know Christ. And when they know Christ, they will begin to hate their sin. And that will be the fruit. Don't mix the fruit up with the root.
And I think many conservative Christians, maybe Scott too, would agree that it's actually a kind of demonic thing. So you begin to look within yourself thinking, actually, these feelings are not only bad, but I'm being controlled.
It's not, again, it's not a demonic thing necessarily. I mean, there is a spiritual battle, and that is an element, of course. But the greatest thing I fear is not the devil. It is my own heart. It is my own wicked human heart. That is what defiles me. Let's not get down the charismatic route of it's all demons. No, they do. I mean, Satan is an adversary. He's a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. But it is our own human heart is the greatest enemy we will ever face. We are dead in trespasses and sins until we know Christ Jesus.
By the devil. I mean, that's what I was told in Nashville. So I think actually it's about coming to terms with who you are and realizing we need to accept our sexual orientation as a God-given gift, rather than making it sound like it's a battle between who you're made to be and who you are.
Reverend Lively, is Vicky being controlled by the devil?
Well, all of us struggle with various different types of temptations. It's part of human life. Christians face these same temptations. There's no difference between the challenges that we have or anyone else in the world has. But we are called to rise above the temptations and to follow the guidance of God. He gave very, very clear, explicit instructions about sexuality. He established the one flesh paradigm in Genesis 1:27 and 2:24, that therefore shall a man leave his family and cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And all sexual activity outside of that covenant that he's established for us to have between one man and one woman is illicit and wrong. And just because you have temptations, strong temptations, to go outside of that bond, that doesn't legitimize them. I'm a married man. I've been married for 33 years. But being a man, I'm attracted to women other than my wife. But I've never given in to those temptations.
It's a very different situation, though.
And all I'm asking
Vicky, let me just ask you one question.
Else struggling with homosexuality to do.
If you're a straight person, and people use this argument on me a lot, at least today, and in when I've argued this before, just as a theologian, if you're a straight person and you say, actually, it's wrong for me as a Christian to have sex outside of marriage, so I'm going to commit to one person of the same sex, that actually gives you the hope of having a life partner, of finding one person and committing to them. But if you're saying that a Christian gay person actually can't have sex outside of that heterosexual paradigm at all, it means there's no hope for them to have a partner.
It's a false premise. There's no such thing as a gay person.
So you do not think that people are born gay?
It's an identity you adopt.
So how come I can't?
I mean, we could say what is identity and all this kind of stuff. It's still sinful. It is, the thing about it is a perversion of the design of God, and it is wrong. And we say, oh, well, how about, notice how she's not using any scriptures, and when she hears the scriptures, she gets more and more frustrated and you'll see how she acts out in a little bit.
Not change the way I feel.
Absolutely not.
I believe God has made me the way that he's made me. It's taken. Well,
see, notice too how, just like the liberalism, Schleiermacher and everything, just basing everything upon feelings, I believe that this is what... No scripture to back it up. It's based on feelings. This shows you how dangerous it is when your theology is based on feelings and emotions. Because what you have when you have based on feelings and emotions is psychology, which is complete opposite of scripture. You're supposed to base it on the objective, verifiable statements, axioms in the scripture. That is your foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ, not your feelings.
It took me 35 years to come to terms with that, and I believe it's actually part of my God-wired identity.
Vicky, God has the power to help you to overcome your homosexual inclinations.
First that kind
Corinthians
of teaching has been so
6,
damaging to me,
11.
And it damages so many people. I think it's one of those things that can really psychologically scar
you
people.
Vicky, you keep referring to psychology rather than spirituality. I think that's your problem. You have adopted the thinking of the world, including the idea...
Like science,
that,
you mean?
...that being criticized
so
damages
science
you.
Is not God-ordained. Well, God didn't give us a brain and intellect.
True science...
Notice how she's mistaking knowledge and the intellect and reasoning. Yes, he has, but we have fallen. We're supposed to meditate upon the Word of God. You see, in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29, it says, the man is created upright, Adam and Eve, but he sought out many inventions. They sought out many inventions. This is the problem with our first parents. It wasn't enough. The parameters which God set, which was the positive test to verify that they were being obedient to the moral law, the Ten Commandments written on their hearts. But it wasn't enough. Satan selling the lie, God is holding something back from you. So everything that happens in the world is, you know, God ordained, so everything's good. With an argument like that, I mean, what's condemned at all? Well, what I feel...
No, true science and biblical theology are perfectly consistent.
Okay.
There's
so
nothing
psychology for you does not reflect God's intellect in us as humans. Because I would say that actually psychology is extremely...
What I'm saying is
it part of what it means to be human is to have a brain and to be intelligent, and God gave us that ability. So I think that the studies into sexuality are very much important.
Don't you care what God thinks, Vicky?
I do, and that is actually why I'm taking this step today, so that young people don't have to listen to the kind of teaching that you peddle, because it damaged
them. Can I just...
Notice that. So young people don't have to listen to the kind of teaching that you're peddling. Now, I don't agree with everything the evangelical pastor says, because I think he's not putting forward in a biblical way at times. No homosexual or unclean person, in the very fruit of his life, will inherit the kingdom of God. She shall not inherit the kingdom of God if this is the characteristic fruit of life. If she's promoting homosexuality. See how he mentions that it is a sin, it is wrong. And she says, well, no. I do care, but it's... See, the thing is, it's a God of her own imagination. It is not the God of the scriptures. It is a God who will tolerate her sin, and will not punish all sin. The thing about it is, again, all sin is punished. But the thing about it is, if you were in Christ Jesus, your sin has been borne by the Lord Jesus Christ in his life and his death, paid in full to tetelestai. And then he rises again to authenticate, showing that he is alive, to showing that all sin on the behalf of his people has been atoned for. Okay, let's look at the next. Again, I want to show this because, you know, people can say that they're blue in the face. Oh, I love the Bible. I love the Bible. I know the Bible back inside and out. And she says that later on in the Channel 4 interview. This is a little bit earlier before she, quote unquote, came out. She is on Sky News. And just look what she says about LGBT, lesbian, gay, and bisexual. Again, She hates the scriptures, and I hope this is bearing out to anybody. And the thing is, this is what I'm saying about CCM, musicians, singers, etc., how many of them claim to love the Bible and do not.
Anti-gay evangelicals. This is a very tough one for theologians, isn't it, Vicky?
It is. It's interesting. So this is a comment piece written about the very controversial anti-gay bill that became law in Uganda about a month ago, outlawing homosexuality and giving a penalty of up to 14 years in prison. And the piece is actually saying that sometimes the assumptions we have about Ugandan culture aren't necessarily correct. So they're saying that this obviously same-sex relationships over there have never been condoned, but they're saying in this piece that they haven't actually been politically punished in the same way over the years, and that it was something that was not approved of, but a blind eye was typically turned to it. But since 1979 and the leadership change, they're actually seeing the influx of American very conservative Christianity coming in and wielding a lot of power. And the piece actually traces different religious leaders who have come in from that wing of the church and have begun to kind of come in with this agenda. They've come in with money. They've been promoting this very anti-gay kind of a paradigm and selling it to the leaders, actually meeting with the leaders from 79 onwards. And so it's to me, it really raises a challenge, like as Christian people having an influence, especially in the developing world, what are we saying? And the importance of saying, actually, these people think the Bible says one thing, but many Christians, like myself, think the Bible says something quite different. And we actually believe that God can really be in favor of same-sex marriage and that the Bible...
And where does it say that? And actually, somebody's going to ask this in a second.
Can say that. So it just grieves me to see Christians at the root of this, because so much suffering and persecution is going on, and I think people should be free to make their own
minds
up.
Where would you point to in the Bible that suggests that God approves of same-sex?
There's a whole lot of it. I'm doing some research on it at the moment. But if you look at specific verses, you can often say, you know, it says in Leviticus, you know, men shouldn't lie with men, but it also says in Leviticus you shouldn't eat shellfish.
Okay, I'm just going to deal with her argument there. Men shouldn't lie with men, that's still in force, and you don't just have to go to the Old Testament, the Old Covenant economy. Again, 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11, Romans 1, Jude 7, on and so forth. It's quite clear, one man, one woman relationship in the covenant of marriage is all that is acceptable in a sexual relationship. Or any other type of relationship. Now, in terms of a romantic sense, I'm talking about. And the lady on her left asks the pertinent question, as in, where in the Bible does it say anything? Well, it says, well, if you look at Leviticus, well, it says man shall not lie with man, but it also says you shouldn't eat shellfish. Well, one is the ceremonial law, right? And I just want to briefly deal with that. If people want to use that argument, see, the thing is, The dietary laws have been done away. The national boundaries, the nationhood of Israel was removed, Matthew 21:43. The kingdom of God should be taken from you and given to a nation that will bring forth the fruits thereof. What does that mean? The boundaries are removed, and they were eventually in 70 AD permanently destroyed. When the Roman armies came and destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. And the kingdom of God was given spiritually, well, you know, I don't want to say given to the church, because in the Old Covenant, Israel was the church. And it's, and again, in the New Testament, it is the church. And what you have is the spiritual nation. It's, I think it's 1 Peter 2:9 you can look at. Talks about a spiritual priesthood, a royal priesthood, sorry. A holy nation. But what I want to look at briefly here is the end of chapter 8. Right, where it says, it talks about a new covenant that they will make briefly, and it's quoting from the end of, from Jeremiah 31, 31 to 33, and it talks about that this covenant or renewing of the covenant is not according to the covenant made with them when they came out of the land of Egypt. Was that the Mosaic covenant? The Mosaic economy, the specific positive laws that were particular to the Mosaic economy, which is what she's referring to with shellfish, are done away. Not according to that. The Levitical priesthood was done away, the instrumental worship, etc., and so on. Everything that was particular to the temple was done away. The sacrificial system was done away. And the dietary laws were done away. The carnal laws were done away. And that is clear. You have the moral law, the Ten Commandments, which is also called eternal law because it never changes. It shows the characteristics of God, the very nature of God. And then you have the ceremonial or the positive aspects, laws that change at different times. You had ceremonial laws in the Old Covenant. We have positive laws today, like the ordinance of baptism and the Lord's table. So you have these, how would I put it, laws. But the positive law ultimately is a test of the obedience to the moral law. The moral law is the law we're being tested against. That is the covenant of works between Adam, who in all who are in Adam, all of mankind represented in Adam, Romans 5:12 through to 14 and beyond even the rest of the chapter. But her argument is comparing apples with oranges. One's a ceremonial law, and one is a creation ordinance from the very beginning. One man, one woman. Anything else is a perversion. So it's a false, non sequitur argument.
You shouldn't wear clothes of mixed fibers, not shells. You know,
again, another ceremony law particular to the Mosaic economy. In the book of Romans and book of Hebrews, etc., it shows that this economy is done away. And we have a royal, spiritual nation, priesthood, etc.
Different ways of looking at the whole stretch of the Bible, that, you know, and pulling things out of context. Yeah.
Exactly. And this is why you need to compare Scripture with Scripture. And the thing about it is, she's saying, oh, taking other things out of context. She's the one taking other things out of context.
If you look at the Bible in context, though, you see a God of love who's into love and faithfulness, and you can kind of extrapolate that and say, actually, love, commitment, they're a good thing. You know, if people are born gay, which I believe they are, how can a God of love not be in favour of that?
Well, there you go.
It's a theological conundrum for you.
Well, it is. I'm not going to argue the opposite just for the sake of it. I think that's absolutely right.
Daily Mirror's Deputy Political Editor, James.
So, let's go on to the next. I think probably covered enough on Vicky Beeching. Now, pray for her that she will repent and trust upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because what a tremendous testimony it would be if she did repent and believe and to the glory of God. Not what she calls conservative Christianity, because it's not. I mean, I purposely do not like that term conservative, because it means absolutely nothing today. And she does not know God. Sadly, she does not know God. And she demonstrates that because she is in complete opposition to clear biblical commandments. And she is going completely upon her feelings. This is the essence, the grounding of liberalism. Just give you a few more examples of CCM. This is not a unique instance of another quote-unquote Christian artist, where this music or rock scene or concert, whatever you want to call it, is no different to the world, except for they mention Jesus' name over and over again, maybe in a few times, and completely grossly misrepresent him. Terrible theology, often heretical, often ecumenical. I mean, if you look at groups like Hillsong performing World Youth Day back in 2008, Lord willing, I might do a show on Hillsong and their ecumenism. He talks about CCM star Kirk Franklin. This is back in 1998. Said homosexuality is a problem today in gospel music. This is back in 1998. A major concern, and everybody knows it. A lesbian praise music ministry is that was recommended by Mark Allen Powell. I'm not too familiar with a lot of these, but Marcia Stevens, she is a praise music ministry, and she's a professing lesbian. She states, or Mark Alan Powell states, about the mother of contemporary Christian music continues to capture hearts for Jesus. Argue interpretation of scripture and debate the ethics and origins of homosexuality all you want, he says. No one with sensitivity to things of the spirit can deny God is using Marcia Stevens to bring the love and mercy of Christ to people whom God apparently has not forgotten. And another person, Ray Bolz, announced his homosexuality in 2008. Actually, a lot of this, I just want to, if you're wondering about just some of the research, a good place to go for research would be, this thing is called, what I'm reading from here is the Directory of Contemporary Worship Musicians. It's a directory that was put together by a Christian by the name of David Cloud. He has a website at www.wayoflife.org. Go on to his website, and this is completely free. You can get this as a free ebook. It's, and you can just, a directory of contemporary worship musicians. Now, people realize that I do not completely agree with David Cloud and a lot of things like Calvinism, etc., but he has some great things in his website that I think he's well worth visiting for things like this. He's like an A to Z in a lot of different topics. He may not be the greatest putting it together logically, but from that point of view, he's excellent as a kind of an A to Z. He, and if you want to do research in CCM, this is a must to research in, and he's done a lot of great work in this area. Ray Bolz, a CCM singer back in 2008, he divorced his wife, and I'm just kind of skipping through a lot of this today. He says he tours the country playing at liberal churches and gay pride events that receive him and his gay Christian message. Other homosexuals, says in his, I'll just give you some other names of other homosexual CCM artists. This will just show you how polluted this whole market is and how little different. There's no difference between it and the world. It is, these people are not Christians. They claim to be Christian. Other homosexual, Anthony Williams, Kirk Talley, Clay Aiken, Jennifer Knapp, Doug Pinnock of King's X, I'm not too sure about a lot of these, and Amy Ryan and Emily Saliers of Indigo Girls. I just want to quote you before we leave the show. This is Dan Hasseltine. This is back in April 2014. Dan Hasseltine, frontman. I mean, people want to so be like the world. They have all these groups that just look like the world, talk like the world, act like the world. There's no difference from the world. He says, frontman of Jars of Clay announced his support for gay marriage. And this is the Twitter post. Not meaning to stir things up, but is there a non-speculative or non-slippery slope reason why gays shouldn't marry? Because God forbids it. He's asking that question? I don't hear one. I'm trying to make sense of the conservative argument, the biblical argument. But it doesn't hold up to basic scrutiny, he says. Feels akin to women's suffrage. I just don't see a negative effect of to allow gay marriage. No societal breakdown. No war in traditional marriage. I don't think scripture clearly states much of anything regarding morality. I don't particularly care about scripture's stance on what is wrong. I care about more how it says we should treat people. And again, this whole you're fine, I'm fine, you're fine, everybody's fine. Don't make any biblical judgments. And I say biblical judgments. Biblical judgments, not hypocritical judgments. Brethren, I pray that, one, we would be equipped in the scriptures as Christians, those who truly know the Lord Jesus Christ, but those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, those who believe that there can be a homosexual and a Christian at the same time, be not deceived. You shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And if you are in that situation, there is hope in Christ Jesus, not in yourself, not in a faith you can work up yourself, but in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus alone. Run to Him today. Do not delay. Don't play with your eternal soul. Run to Christ. He is a willing Savior. It does not matter what you have done. but you need to run to him in repentance and faith. This has been Paul Finn. If you've got any questions, megiddofilms@gmail.com. Talk to you soon.